Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard this non-stop flight-free podcast service. Our flight time will be roughly 20 minutes. Please make sure your seat backs and tray tables are in their full upright position and that your seat belt is correctly fastened. But no need to set your mobile devices to airplane mode, that can stay off. We've been cleared to take off, so sit back, relax, and enjoy this flight-free podcast.
For this month's podcast, we're speaking to Stephanie Parker and Helen Coffey. Steph runs the travel website Big World Small Pockets, and Helen is the deputy travel editor at The Independent, so they both make a living from travel. They've signed up to Flight Free 2020, and we love having travel writers on our pledge, because if they can take a flight free year, anybody can. Now, Helen and Steph had exciting flight-free travel plans, and like most other people, they've all been cancelled because of COVID. But both of them have made similar discoveries during lockdown, that travel is more about how you see things than where you go. So we thought it would be great to catch up with them both and find out how we can benefit from staying within the UK and how we can still have new, authentic travel experiences without really going very far. Let's start with Helen and hear about what her travel plans were for this year.
So one of the big ones, which I'm still hopefully fingers crossed doing now in March next year, is going by cargo ship. Yeah, I've heard so much about it from people you know through the Flight Free movement.
Yeah.
And I just think people are still fascinated by it. Whenever I told someone about it, they'd be like, oh my gosh, what?
Yeah.
The trip I'm going to take is kind of this round trip going from Liverpool over to Nova Scotia and then down the East Coast to New York and Baltimore. And then it kind of comes back up and round. So a lot of it is just at sea. But that's kind of what I wanted, was to experience this, you know, what is it like? You're cut off from everything. There's not really any internet data, you can't message people, you know, what's that like on this working ship? And I think everyone I spoke to who was already, you know, much further along on going flight free, including you when we've spoken previously, whenever I'd say, you know, what's your advice, it would always be, you need to learn to see the journey as part of the experience, and the journey as part of the travel, and it's not just a racing to get from A to B. And so I liked this idea of just really leaning into that and being like, not what's the fastest way, but what's, you know, what's an experience where, yeah, the whole journey is the thing, not where I'm going to necessarily.
Yeah.
Travelling by cargo ship is pretty unique, and we have some really interesting stories of people who have crossed oceans on cargo ships on our website, including Lewis, who went to South America, and Peter and Christine, who travelled back to the UK from Singapore. You can find them at the Be Inspired tab of our website and select the travel category. We also spoke at length to adventurer and environmental campaigner Kate Rawls, who crossed the Atlantic by ship as part of her biodiversity bike ride in the Andes. You can hear our interview with Kate in episode 4 of this podcast series. So it's an incredible adventure, obviously now not going ahead for Helen. So what about finding those same travel experiences within the context of lockdown? We were really inspired by Helen's article in The Independent, in which she discovers some of the magic of travel a mere 5 miles from her house, where she took a swim in the Serpentine. Just as a side note, we are obviously conducting this interview in the outdoors, so please forgive the background noise and the occasional dog barking.
Yeah, so just going and swimming in the Serpentine, which I pass it, well, not at the moment because I'm working from home, but in regular time, I cycle past that, you know, twice a day, 5 days a week. And I might sometimes stop on the bridge and take a picture of its particularly nice sunrise, something like that. But yeah, I'd never really, I think I might have gone swimming there once it's a man-made lake and there's a kind of fenced off bit that's a bit more like a lido or something. But I mean, a long time ago. And I'd never swum in the sort of the lake proper. And I just took myself there one day and it just, yeah, I think especially having been cooped up for so long, it just felt really magical, like the journey of it, the cycling through London on this really beautiful day, the getting there, the sort of just, yeah, like pushing off and swimming in this big space, and looking around and thinking, you know, oh my goodness, you know, if this was happening to me in a different country, there'd be no question that I'd be like, this is a magnificent experience. I feel so free and lighthearted, and like, I, you know, the world's my oyster. And, you know, it shouldn't make a difference that it's not somewhere far flung to feel that way, I don't think. It's all about changing your perspective on it.
Here's a short excerpt from the article that Helen wrote. The cool water, the open sky, the sun-drenched trees, and the peace that comes with being almost inside the landscape. These are the sensations we often travel thousands of miles to capture. Heavy-limbed and a little dizzy at the wonder of it all, I clambered out some time later and pondered all the hours I've spent in joyless airport terminals, all the money I've spent on magazines and overpriced snacks while waiting to pile into a metal box with wings, just trying to grasp hold of the same things. Sometimes travel can be far-flung and exotic. Sometimes it can be closer to home. And sometimes it can be so close to home that you're back in time for brunch. Do read the whole article. It's on the Independent website with the headline, The Unexpected Joys of Travelling Much, Much Closer to Home. And that's another thing that Helen's discovered in lockdown, finding the unexpected in somewhere that's really familiar, like our hometowns. There's always something new to discover, even in places that we think we know really well.
Interestingly, last week I went back to my hometown. I stayed with my mum for the week, and that I found really interesting because I grew up in Hemel Hempstead town in Hertfordshire. Obviously, because I grew up there, I absolutely hated everything about it, and I thought it had not a speck of beauty to recommend it. And I was just so surprised. I mean, I lived there for 18 years and I barely know the place at all. So every day after I'd finish work, I'd want to market, so I'd go out for a walk somewhere. And within 10 minutes of my mum's house, there ended up being this kind of woodland. You came out of it into these kind of meadows of wildflowers. It was like a reverse Narnia or something. You were just like, ah! And it was 10 minutes away, never heard of it, never been there, never seen it. And it really changed my idea of this concept of travel or of finding beautiful things. And actually you just have to shake off the familiarity you feel about the places you know.
So, of course, sometimes we do want to travel further afield and have those experiences when we feel like we're really going somewhere and get that excited buzz of looking forward to a holiday and learn about different cultures and different foods and different landscapes. But even that we can discover here in the UK. There's quite a culture shift from north to south, for example, and the outlying islands can make for a really magical adventure.
There is so much beauty here, and I feel like I haven't scratched the surface of it, and I always want to see more. I'm going to the Isles of Scilly for the first time at the end of August, and
amazing.
I'm so excited. Like, and I would be just as, yeah, I wouldn't be any more excited to be going abroad, I don't think, because it's a place I haven't been with its own kind of climate, and like you say, its own stuff going on, its own traditions. It's not a matter of distance, is it? It's more a matter of something you haven't experienced before somehow. Or yeah, I love that idea of, like, any time you cross the sea and seeing like things come into view and going, oh, we're really close now, it's getting closer. Going to the Channel Islands, to me, because it's like almost got its own little microclimate going on, so warm, like I it feels so much like going like properly on holiday somewhere else, like the south of France or something. You know, it's got all these amazing beaches and, you know, cliffs to jump off of and swimming in the sea. And it really, every time I've been there, it really gives me those vibes. I don't feel like I'm in the same, you know, country in any way. Particularly one of my friends got married on Alderney, which is one of the smaller ones, and it was just like It was so magical.
Yeah, how idyllic.
Yeah, just floating in the sea thinking, like, I don't feel like I'm, you know, at home. Yeah. There's nothing familiar about this.
Now let's bring in Steph, who actually grew up in the Channel Islands. So for her, this is familiar and this is her home. Steph's own amazing flight-free adventure was going to involve travelling for 6 months around the Mediterranean through Northern Africa, Europe and Central Asia. So when that was cancelled, she went home to Jersey. And though Jersey has loads to recommend it and is a massive tourist draw, Steph hadn't necessarily seen it as an adventurous place to be, simply because she grew up there. But being forced to stay put meant seeing things through new eyes, and even in a place as small as Jersey, she made some fascinating discoveries.
Well, I found these amazing beach caves. They look like something out of some like fairy tale grotto, which I knew were there, but I'd never explored. I did a lot of stuff that we'd done as kids, but with then as an adult view and then with a travel blogger view of like, oh, actually, because, so this is the thing, I guess, when you go as a tourist or as a child's tourist, you kind of experience, but when you go as an adult travel blogger, you see stuff in a different way because you're like, this was just normal for me. Like having a 16th century castle was just normal, you know, or being able to see France from the cliff path is just normal. Yeah. But you start looking at it through a new set of eyes.
What would it be like for someone else?
And like we travel to see beach. If I was in a destination, I was like, oh my goodness, there's beach caves. I'd be like, wow, let's definitely go.
Yes.
This is about reconfiguring how we view adventure and view excitement and view travel and realizing exactly what you said. There's a lot on the doorstep that is exciting and beautiful and other people would love to see. And we don't look at it in that way because it's geographically close to us. I think that's the only discriminating factor. There's amazing bird watching spots down at St. Wands Bay, like free. You can watch by the pond. You can go into these sea caves in Plymouth. You can hike along the north coast. You can paddleboard the east coast. You can go and stay overnight in a Jersey Heritage like tower or property. They have all these kind of quirky Airbnb type stays in like heritage properties. And then you've got like local food, you know, freshly caught. Yeah.
Well, this is turning into a bit of an advert for Jersey. It's a great flight-free destination for anyone wanting a bit of a foreign feel to their holiday, but without needing a passport. Ferries go from Poole or Portsmouth, and there are high-speed options as well as slower ones. Just remember to take some quells because the channel can get quite rough. Travelling locally is going to be really key in addressing the climate crisis, because there just isn't room for taking lots of flights in a low-carbon future. We've already talked about how we can have those authentic, exciting travel experiences without really going very far. And as lockdown has forced us to stay still and appreciate what's on our doorstep, maybe this is the mindset we need to take forwards in order to still have those experiences without it costing the earth.
Things you've always gone past, learn the story behind them, because there's a million stories everywhere that you never know about that are absolutely fascinating. And I think the second thing is, try something new. So you can be in the same environment, but so for example, I went kayaking along the south coast of Jersey. My friend bought a kayak. We were allowed to see each other by this point.
Yeah.
We went out and we like kayaked along. I've never kayaked in Jersey. It was I literally felt like we were in the Med. Ultimately, when we travel, we're kind of seeking, I think, to satisfy this itch or curiosity of like, but what happened there or what went on or what is it like to live there or be there? And you can fulfill that same itch closer to home. It's just about the process of discovering something new, and that doesn't have to be far. In the UK, I mean, Jersey is absolutely tiny, and if I manage to discover new stuff there, and you have the whole, even if you don't want to go to Ireland or to France or even up to Scotland, like there's so much just in England or the UK landmass that, I mean, you could spend a year just discovering everything in London or around, you know, there's a crazy amount. So I think if you get into a mindset where the aim is just to go and to discover and see something new and to learn about somewhere new, that doesn't have to be far away at all. You can apply the bucket list mentality and whatever it is, if you're interested in, are you interested in mountains, coast, nature, history, art, food, culture,
cities.
We've got it. So tailor your trip to what you're interested in. There's the scope to do that. And Yeah, I mean, we're an island of nations as well. So if you get bored with England, scoot over to Wales.
And honestly,
scoot across to Ireland.
Places in Wales, you won't hear a word of English spoken. It really does feel like you're a foreigner. A lovely feeling.
So. Yeah, and I imagine Scotland is similar. So there's your exoticism as well, you know.
So will our intrepid travellers keep up the Flight Free Challenge, even though this year has not worked out at all how we thought it might?
I haven't missed flying in the way that I thought I might miss it. It feels a little bit like when I went vegetarian, well, pescatarian technically, but I was just going to do it for a month and then it wasn't very hard, so I just kept doing it. And, you know, that was like 4 years ago. So I'm wondering if it might be a similar feeling. Like, I've already decided I'm going to do it again next year, because I do feel like this year was a bit of a cheat. Like, it wasn't really governed by choice in the same way as it was supposed to be. But so I think definitely in for 2021.
Okay, and then that's amazing.
Yeah, we'll see how at the end of that, if it still feels like, oh, this is easy. Who knows? But I think there's also something about, you know, we live in such a world of choice that I think lots of us feel overwhelmed a lot of the time, because we have to make decisions all the time out of everything. And actually there's something about the restriction of choice in some way that's very liberating, because you can only travel overland or sea, then that immediately, instead of seeing that as something like, oh, that's taken away all my options, if you see it as, well, no, now I've got this like really curated palette of options to choose from, and that makes choosing, you know, easier and more exciting. And yeah, if you reframe it that way, it's actually, it can feel very freeing rather than stifling.
I'm obviously really sad that the plans didn't work out. There's lots of people who've been disappointed this year. I mean, most people have, whether your wedding's been cancelled, whether, you know, everybody, that's what we're living with, that's life. But there's so much to discover on the doorstep that for me, when I decided, okay, scrap the whole Central Asia and back plan, the UK I got that travel buzz, because I was like, I really haven't seen the UK that much. Like, I'm really excited that life's forced me to look at those possibilities, and I feel excited about that. So, yeah. I see it as a really positive thing, and I genuinely feel the same sense of excitement and adventure and like intrepid discovery that I would feel going anywhere.
And that's a really nice place to leave it. It's been great to speak to two people who are so passionate about travel and who have fully embraced the Flight Free Challenge. Do read more about them online. Helen writes brilliantly for The Independent, and Steph's website Big World Small Pockets has some excellent content about travelling on a budget. Thank you, Steph, and thanks, Helen, for speaking to us. And thank you to you for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, the seatbelt sign indicates we're coming to the end of our journey. Don't forget to take your duty-free items with you. We have some excellent tweets and inspiring Instagram posts at FlightFree2020. Or how about our Facebook page, FlightFree UK? And our website is always available. www.flightfree.co.uk. We've been cleared to land, so on behalf of the Flight Free Podcast Service, I'd like to thank you for joining us, and we look forward to welcoming you on board again next month.